The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures from eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on the Son of Man that God the Father he has set the seal." They said to Jesus, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom God has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." When Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
My dear friends, this morning I would like to begin by telling you my first experience when I came to the United States about 10, 11 years ago. My first place to arrive in the United States was Rochester. Helen knows that. It was Rochester. And so I stayed 2-3 days to restore myself from jet lag and others. And then after that, I was taken to the mighty Wegmans in Rochester. I think that's the headquarters of Wegmans. Yeah, I see the Wegmans here and say, "Oh no, not the one I saw in Rochester." So I went into Wegmans, right? I went in Wegmans and I was working in Wegmans. This is gigantic. And just moving around to see, you know, the supermarkets, are they the same with the supermarkets in Zimbabwe and all that? And then my eyes were caught up on the bread side. Oh my God. I cannot even tell Italian bread, what bread, and then the lines of rolls, this kind, and I said, "Oh my God, lots of bread, this is just too much, I mean, this is crazy, why all these kinds of bread and all that?" Because in my own little town, you know, bread companies or bakeries, they are only subjected to a location, you don't have to cross over some locations. So when you walk in the grocery store, you always know I'm going to get Proton or maybe three or so companies, local companies. And yeah, there are lots of bread. Oh my God, this is too much. Right, so today we are again on the bread. We see the bread here in front of us, and the bread here as well. But let's look into this text that is so interesting. Of course, this is a continuation of the feeding of the 5,000 from chapter 6, 1-4 to 14. So this is a continuation of that story that we want to see today. So, but here is something that I want to highlight a little bit so that we can understand some of the things here. The gospel today is highly contrary to the prosperity gospel that we see in our various places, but also maybe the tele-evangelists as well. So the gospel of prosperity dangles the hopes of future riches. And you know, sometimes is when you are sick, no, the child of God should not be sick. And you always work, you thrive, you need to get the riches. And actually, when you are rich, God is with you. And when you are poor, search yourself, you have done something wrong. So this is the understanding. So we see here in that context, they seem to be chasing a Jesus who will continue to give them bread that perishes. Yet their hunger persists. And it reminds me that the crowds that are not so much different than the crowds now, all wanting more and more, and they get thirsty and thirstier, hungry and hungrier. In fact, I mean, we are hungry people. Always. Right away when we walk up to the door, we go and look and, oh, where is the coffee table? No, I'm not saying we should not eat. But I'm just saying we are hungry people naturally. Right? We are hungry people and we are thirsty people. We are not only thirsty about the coffee and all. No, that's not the issue. But we are also thirsty and hungry for power. Thirsty to be seen, and so forth, and other things that we are thirsty in this world. We are a hungry people, and we fail to receive Jesus because we allow our personal concerns and the sensitivities to hijack the word of God. God wants us to hear. And John sees many were followers of Jesus. Were heading as well, and they follow Jesus, sometimes with great zeal and ardent work, but they are following for the wrong reasons, for bread that delights in the taste and satisfaction of hunger, but which also spoils over time. And I didn't finish my story. Now I go to another point of the workmen. I was so happy with all these breads that I said earlier on. But I was not happy sometime when I went back, big truck loaded with these breads. They had spoiled. Lots of vegetable taken to go to the damp place to be thrown away. And here, this was a problem with me. The world produces more. But there are still people who are hungry in this world. And the question is, where is the problem? Where are we? We produce more, we take more. And here is something, just go and evaluate yourselves. No, please, I'm not, don't chase me away when I come to your houses because you think but I'm just saying, look at your basement. The hoarding and all and all and all, and sometimes you start to pick and throw away and pick and throw because they are bad. They spoil, right? Some goods, and so they are written expiring date. Use it by such date. When it is over, you throw it away. And this is the nature of us, the people. So I was angry when I see this big truck. All these breads, all these vegetables, all these tomatoes, all this taken away and dumped. And I said, oh, no. But of course, look at this poor guy. He's coming from a place where people are highly poor and think people are starving and all that. So maybe it touched me because of that. But I'm just saying, here is a lot. But again, people are hungrier and hungrier every time. So here's the thing. The crowd of 5,000 ate the bread that Jesus produced out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And we are told that they were 12 baskets full of leftovers. And Jesus gave the specific instruction. And here's the thing. Specific instruction, collect all the leftovers. Collect all. So that nothing may be lost. Right, here's the issue. It occurs to me that those 12 baskets are the leftovers miracle the people were following. They knew. So the question is, where did that bread go? We saw them collecting the basketfuls. So where did they go? And we hear in the first verse, we were looking for you. I mean, we were looking, where we did, remember they were on the other side of the desert, right? Now they are on the side of the Israelite side, which is Capernaum, right? So now they're on the other side. Now they left the desert. So we're looking for you and we could not find you. So in other words, we saw you with the baskets. Where did you take them? Where did you take, that was the issue. Where did you take them? That's what they wanted. And this is what I see in this text. And of course, why not? They're hungry. So we are. They were hungry and they were supposed to do that. They were part of the special, something heavenly, something that echoed God's gracious manna from heaven that fed the people of Israel on their journey. And why not follow Jesus for more of that? After all, he is the one who provided it in the first place. And surely it is a good thing. But here's something that is so nice about this. Jesus does not deny that the bread he had multiplied is a good thing. But he avers, it is not a lasting thing. It was good and it met a real need. It was welcomed with thanksgiving. It was shared. It was collected afterward so that nothing would be lost. Yet, if that is why people are following Jesus, then they are sure to be disappointed because the bread that Jesus multiplies miraculously will not last. It spoils. And the manna lessons that we saw in the Old Testament from the wilderness were important for the people of Israel. And here's the word manna. The word manna is when they were picking. When they were picking, they were asking a question. What is this? What is this? So the word manna was that miracle and with that question. What is this? The Lord has done. And I like that question which the Israelites asked themselves. Because they were quite like, what happened? Who else? They could understand God has done something. But the people with Jesus did not understand that. They saw the bread and loved the bread, but they did not understand the message of the manna. That's where the problem is. So Jesus began to teach them again about the true bread from heaven. The bread which Jesus feeds the 5,000 is not the true gift that God sends to them in the world. Or at least not at all of it. But rather, Jesus is the true bread. Jesus is the gift that God sends to the world. The one through whom both physical and spiritual needs are met. And Jesus makes a bold move, and he says, I am the bread of life. And that was blasphemy to say I am, because he identifies himself with Yahweh, the great I am. And that was blasphemy to these people. He identified Yahweh as the bread of life for the world. And I see in the Christ of the cross one who gives himself for the life of all. And when we feast at Christ's table, my dear friends, it is his own life poured out for us that becomes our bread. It is in the giving of himself that he is not alive. He is most alive, sorry, even as he dies. So as he dies, he becomes more alive to us. And those of us who follow rather than chase Jesus, learn the simple truth from the living word. We are only filled full when we empty ourselves. And Jesus is bread of life, not for what he puts into our stomachs, but rather for how he reaches out to live. They ate the food but missed the real message, a message that still says, whosoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. A life offered to Jesus won't be subject to hunger pains of materialism or the stomach growls of self-indulgence. And Jesus offers the food that lasts. In other words, the things of this world have a shelf life, but the fruits of the word have eternal life. This food lasts during the stomach of life. This food sustains us from generation to generation. I believe that there is no expiration date on God's let be there. And God's promise can sustain us throughout our lives and all times. And when Jesus says, instead of the bread that produces, is the bread that he is. And here is something that I want to conclude highlighting on this text. For those who make bread, men and women here will understand this. During fermentation, and the same bacteria that causes fermentation is the same bacteria that will cause, what do you call, perfundation? I can't remember the English very well. It's the same bacteria. It causes fermentation, but it causes to make the bread bad. It's the same bacteria. It spoils over a time. But Jesus offers the truth that he is, the life that he is, the way he is, and the resurrection he is, and we have him today. Until one follows the truth that is incarnate in Christ, and for John's gospel, one has not yet found the wellspring, the source, the fountain of the true God. And the bread in our bread drawers will always decay, but Jesus, the bread of life, never gets mold, rotten, putrid, or stale. My dear friends, adios, sia la gloria. To God be to glory. Amen.